Listen to people today. Hi, Ben. Do you want to come up and do a story?
It didn't seem right looking down the back and not being able to see you. Is Nathan there too?
Yeah, Nathan's Sam, but it's weeping.
Betsy, could you two want to just take a seat? This story is called Through the Roof, which is quite a neat story, isn't it? And usually when people talk about, come on, Nathan, you come hear the story too. Usually we hear about Through the Roof, we think something's really loud, don't we? Through the Roof, but this story is called Through the Roof. Aha! Home, sweet home, said Jesus. Ah, teaching and healing people's hard work. It's time to relax with a banana milkshake. I don't know if Jesus really had a banana milkshake, but this is what the story's telling us. Knock, knock, knock. He had just sat down when knock, 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 somebody was at the door. It was next door neighbours. It's Jesus. Hi, Jesus. Welcome home. We'd like to know more about God. Can we sit down and ask some questions? Sure, said Jesus. Come on in. Would you like a cup of tea? An orange juice or a banana milkshake? Jesus served the drinks and then he started the teaching. What do you think that might say, Hayden? Knock, knock, knock. Somebody was at the door. Hello, Jesus. We'd like to know more about God. Can we come in? Sure, said Jesus. Join the party. Jesus served some more drinks and he kept on teaching. What does it say?
Knock, knock, knock.
That's right. Knock, knock, knock. Good afternoon, sir. We are your Bible experts. May we please attend your Bible study? Of course, said Jesus. Make yourself at home. And Jesus just kept on teaching. Meanwhile, in a house nearby, lived a man who could not walk. Knock, knock, knock.
Knock, knock, knock.
Yeah. Somebody was at his door. It was his four fantastic friends. Has everybody got fantastic friends in the church? This man had some fantastic friends, but remember, he couldn't walk. So it was good he had friends, isn't it? Jesus is home, yelled his friend. Yay! Hoo-ha! It's healing time! They grabbed the bed, and flew out the door. To Jesus' house. Yee-ha! Woo-hoo! It's healing time! Look at them carrying the man in his bed, because he couldn't walk. But when they got to Jesus' house, the place was packed with people. Because all these people had come knocking on Jesus' door, and now they wanted to be with him. Carry me home, said the man who couldn't walk. I'll never get to Jesus. Ha! Said the four fantastic friends. We don't give up that easily. To the roof! That's right, to the roof. And up they climbed. Look at them. I don't know how they got that man up there. I mean, the buildings weren't that high, but it's still quite an effort to lift a man in his bed up on the roof, isn't it? Through the roof they went and down they dug. Dig, 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 dig. Do you think they would have had a power drill like that? Probably not in those days, did they? They probably actually lifted the straw. It would have been like straw or matting across the roof or branches, and they would have lifted it. And they dug. Dig, dig, dig. I wonder what Jesus and his friends were thinking as they were sitting there wondering what's going to happen. Crash! And then the four friends gently lowered their friend to Jesus. Ah! Do you know what Jesus said first? He laughed and then he looked at him and he said, you have four faithful friends. And then he said, your sins are forgiven. So he didn't heal him first with his body, he healed him first in his heart. Pretty special, isn't it? The Bible experts glared at Jesus. They were both thinking the same thing. How dare Jesus say that? Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and he said, okay, experts, which is the easiest thing to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or get up, grab your bed and go home. Isn't it amazing? Jesus healed his heart first and probably his mind too, really. Because in our minds we think things we shouldn't think. And then he healed his body. amazing, yelled the crowd. Yee-haw, woo-hoo, yelled the friends. We told you it was healing time. And the man leapt up, grabbed his bed, and ran home. What an amazing story. And it's a story that is because his friends, we use a big word called honour, don't we? His friends cared enough or held him in their heart that they wanted him to go to Jesus. And you know, because they did that, that man was also healed in his heart and in his mind and in his body. Fantastic friends, weren't they? And that's what we're to do as a church. We look after each other so that when we can go bring each one of us closer to Jesus, whether you're a young person or an old person, you can encourage us closer to Jesus because he does the healing for us, doesn't he? What a wonderful story. Right, before we go, shall we pray? Lord, help each one of us in this church to be fantastic friends and to bring each one of each other to you, because you're the one that heals, you're the one that restores, you're the one that forgives, and you're the one that loves. And we just pray that for the three children and for little Daniel at the back. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, guys, after summer's gone, I'll follow you. Nathan, are you going to come to summer school today with us?
Cool.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. How is everyone this morning? Feeling tired? Jaded? Lost an hour of sleep? Wow. Where did that hour go? Two guys are out hunting, and as they are walking along, they came upon a huge hole in the ground. They approached it and were amazed at the size of it. First hunter says, "Wow, that's some hole. I can't even see the bottom. I wonder how deep it is." Second hunter says, "I don't know. Let's throw something down there, listen, and see how long it takes to hit the bottom." The first hunter says, "Hey, here's an old automobile transmission over here. Let's give us a hand and we'll throw it in and see." So they pick it up, carry it over, count one, two, three, and heave it in the hole. They're standing there listening, looking over the edge, when they hear a rustling behind them. And as they turn around, they see a goat come crashing through the underbrush, run up to the hole, and without hesitation, jump in head first. While they're standing there staring at each other in amazement, trying to figure out what this was all about, an old farmer saunters up. "Say there," says the farmer, "you fellas didn't happen to see my goat around here anywhere, did you?" First hunter says, "Funny you should ask. But we were just standing here a minute ago and a goat came running out of the bushes, doing about 100 kilometres an hour, and jumped headfirst into this hole." The farmer said, "Nah, that's impossible. I had him chained to a transmission." I actually nearly cried at that one. I thought, that is bizarre. But
he did cry. He laughed.
It's a wonderful word picture. I can just visualize that. Over the past few weeks, we've been considering together this whole idea of honor and the fact that we, as Christ followers, are part of a different culture. And if we're going to build culture, there's got to be some intentionality about that. And so, I don't know, I just sense before the Lord that we, as the people of God, really do need to build something together. And it is a together thing. So this morning, I'm just going to do an introduction to today's offerings. And you've been so gracious and kind and attentive and thoughtful to me for nearly 2 years or over 2 years, so it's only fair that just for a few minutes I listen to you. So you're going to do the sermon this morning. By way of some discussion, I have some questions that we've plotted for you. So we've looked at affirmation as part of this culture, prayer as part of this culture, and trust. I had two more lined up, but time didn't work that way. And that was serving and accountability. Because we need those things together if we're going to build this kind of culture in our families and our church, our community, wherever we go. So this is about the culture of the kingdom, really. It's about a kingdom culture. And I've struggled to know how to say it properly. But, you know, in this parish, and I've got the car running, so it's my last Sunday here. In this parish, there's been a sense in which there's those who are the charismaniacs on that side and the non-charismaniacs on, did I say charismaniacs? on the other side. And it was kind of like, where do you fit with all this, Doug Stevenson? And I said, well, I believe in a third way, not those ways. That's not helpful to put those labels on there. The third way is the way of the kingdom, the culture of the kingdom. Jesus came and preached the good news of the kingdom. And it is good news. And that's the one we should be involved in. That's the one that characterizes our lives, or should do. So, the Lord's Prayer that I have intentionally not prayed every Sunday, and I know it's a good Presbyterian thing to do. And the reason I'm not taking it every Sunday is because it becomes part of what we say by rote, but don't enter into the truth of it. Here is one or two little things about the truth of this. And I've deliberately chosen the voice as the translation. Our Father, dwelling in heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is fulfilled in heaven. So what is in heaven should be on earth. And what is on earth is in heaven. Now that's what I've tried to share for the past couple of years. Part of the Lord's Prayer. But when we pray that prayer, we don't think about it like that. And so we've tried to bring everything about it in a different way. Now having said that, when you spend time in another culture, and many of you have, when you spend time, by osmosis, you catch something of that culture. You get a little bit of an accent. Some of your thinking and your thought processes start to change to become a little bit more like the culture that you're part of. It's by osmosis. You just catch it. When I came back here sometimes to New Zealand after spending time in the States, they said I had an American accent. I didn't think so. They could pick that up. I don't know what kind of accent I've got. However, if we're planning to embrace that culture that we're in, we have to go after it. We've got to learn the language. We've got to get familiar with the customs. Otherwise, we remain outsiders. In the culture of the kingdom, if we don't go after it, if we don't embrace it, if we don't learn the language, te reo kingdom, guess what? We remain outsiders. We feel like we're outsiders. We're observers looking into something and we don't understand what we're looking at. When someone's pretty passionate about the rugby world, you can't stop them talking about the rugby world. They can remember tries that were scored 40 years ago on that certain piece of paddock. True? Because they're passionate. Tomorrow is the start of something that's very passionate to Jeff. We're picking on Jeff this morning. It's called the fishing season. Well, the legal one anyway. And so, the fishing season. There are some people that's all they do all year is prepare for the fishing season, then they go do it. Sometimes we're like that with the things of church. Only we talk about it, but we never go fishing. We never enter in. Not much use having a license if you don't use it. But when we're passionate about something, we're all over it. We've got to know who we are. We've done the best we can to discuss together and affirm in each other who we are. You know, if we just could only really let that grip our hearts and our souls, I tell you, it changes everything to know who we are and what we carry. I continue to be my, I cannot grasp it in its entirety. I'm trying to. To understand that I am the dwelling place of Almighty God. And I think the danger of what I would call our culture of evangelical church is that we sometimes think of God being magical and out there. And we miss the fact that he lives within us. And we have to release his kingdom, authority, and power, and grace through our lives. We've got to do that. It's not something. Sometimes we pray that God would do such and such. He's never going to answer that prayer. Ever, ever, ever. Because he's asked us to do that. That's true about healing. We pray for God to heal somebody, and he does in his mercy and his grace. But he's given us the task. Go and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We're going to have some participation in that. So that's just, before I start preaching again, that's my introduction. I want to read to you from Ephesians 4, and then I'm going to let you do some stuff. This is our divine calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, said Paul, writing to this amazing church in Ephesus. Being revival happened there, an incredible thing. He said, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank, given to you in your divine calling, with tender humility, quiet patience. Always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience. Oh, yeah. Verse 3, be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace, being one body and one spirit, as you are all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. Verse 5, for the Lord God is one, and so are we. One of the things that your session elders have wrestled with over the past 2 years and looked at somewhere in the vicinity of about 15 prophetic words spoken over this church, it's all about being one in unity, a unity of purpose. Isn't that exciting? How the prophetic word affirms God's word to us in the moment. For the Lord God is one, and so are we. For we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father. And he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. Oh, you're allowed to say yay on that. Verse 7, he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ. And this is why he says he ascends into the heavenly heights, taking his many captured ones with him. And gifts were given to men. He ascended means that he returned to heaven. After he had first descended from the heights of heaven, even descending as far as the lowest parts of the earth, the same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. And he's appointed some with grace to be apostles. And some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness in the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God, and finally we become one perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed in the abundance of Christ. Verse 14, and then our immaturity will end and will not be easily shaken by trouble, nor led astray by novel teachings or by the false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies, but instead we'll remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All our direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into Him, the anointed head of the body, the church. And verse 16, for this body has been formed in His image and is closely joined together, constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we're built up and made perfect in love. What I'd like us to do, and I hope you'll do this, is to get yourself into about five groups. So, if you can find some people, might mean moving out of your chair, or turning around and doing something. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to choose two of the four questions. And you'll have 5 minutes on each question. Is that all right? To discuss them. So it's not a time for social comment. It's a time to get in and address the questions. So and then if somebody could be appointed as a scribe and talker, just at the end of this, because we want to have some feedback together, and Lynn's going to take notes. So who wants to be the group scribe and leader? It looks like lightly back there. And just choose any two questions you like. Oh. Doesn't matter if two groups do the same way.
Thank you. So this number two is probably one we should do. Is there another one that we should look at?
Yes, I don't think we can be truly honouring of one another, like you're saying, until we know what it is to honour God and honour His word, as His word, and where does that fit in my life? So until we're God honouring, we won't be people honouring. We'll be nipped. That's not my style, that's not my way. The singing my sermon. But we've got all the agendas. That we have, that doesn't suit me, it's not my style. No. But if you're God honoring, I see God and hear God in music, hear Him in the word, see Him in people's lives and what He's doing. And you respond in love.
So the track on his agenda rather than do you see how that process with
does it work in the church? I mean, as he's asking, does it work in here?
Yeah, well, I mean, assuming we get to the point we recognize that we need to have a version of God.
Should be trying to go without the second question now. That's just 5 minutes.
So picking up on that one, when we think of honouring God, if we put the word Holy Spirit, the word Holy Spirit there as well, there's something up there.
Because we can say we're God honouring, and it can be
so you think that's
I'm intrigued.
I'm just The second question was,
Yes.
to carry the glory of heaven, to release it, to assure it of the Lord.
Because it's so critical to how we operate several things in the world system. And it pushes down through this thinking of us in a mercy way. These causes, in that translation, do you see the verse?
Okay, folks, if we could draw our attention toward each other in a different way now. What we're doing here is an attempt to do something in about 15 minutes that really needs a lot of time. But I hope it's just enough to raise some questions, maybe not even answer them. And what I think would be good, just because we've got time pressure, always time pressure, and it's a busy afternoon. But just wondering if the scribe and spokesperson for each group could just pick a question that you've looked at and discussed a little bit and come back with some thoughts on it for us out of each group. And to be fairly quick with that, if that's okay. Could we start with you, Peter?
Yeah.
Great.
We'll just pick one of the questions that you answered. And that was the first question. And that was comparing the Catholic Church versus Ephesus Church, as in the reading above. And we'll start with the Ephesus Church because that was easy to answer because it was in the Bible. And they were humble, gentle, patient, tolerant. They did their best to be unified, bound by peace, wisdom, understanding, grace, prepared for Christian's service, or preparing others for Christian service. They had gifts. They won us in the faith, they gave thanks, they prayed, and they spoke truth in love. And at Dawa Waikeka, apparently, we can be strong and forthright. And also, because of our local cultural heritage, we're used to dealing with the results of life, both good and bad. And because we're often involved in smaller enterprises or smaller businesses, we lack, according to one of their members, vertical integration. And what they meant by that is there's no tiers of management in the businesses we work in, and there's no passing the buck on to the next guy. If something goes wrong, you just got to deal with it and suck it up. And that goes well, though, for the positive things. When things go right, you know, you do give it that credit and the rest of it. Apparently, we don't tolerate fools very well. And then we thought meditation license. So the church does have some good giftings, and they're very good at giving to other people and being generous in spirit. There is a oneness in faith for the direction we want to head in. And there's also an openness in the church that, because of, you know, the geographic location, etc., that the church does need to be a bit of a one-size-fits-all in regards to different faith backgrounds. And one good example of this was graciousness of older people and the adaptability of music to styles that may or may not be to their liking. And I think that's where people in this church are open to the fact that we are a bit of a one-size-fits-all, and being a Christian is probably more important than being a contemporary or a traditional or a Baptist or a Presbyterian, or, you know, even though we are a Presbyterian church, underneath that all there is that openness that we do need to be a one size fits all with it. We've got it caring for each other, and that we are quite open-minded and adaptable. And I think that's probably underestimated by different people that come from the outside. That's outside looking in, that we, our open-mindedness and adaptability may be hidden a little bit by strong and forthright views and the ability to, people are used to that, like I said, dealing with results, good and bad, so they're not afraid of saying their piece. But I think you find that, especially when you look at a lot of people in the church and the example given in the group was in their farming lives, a lot of people in this church are actually very adaptable and progressive and very open-minded, especially compared to not necessarily other non-Christians, but just other people in the community. And I think that's underestimated how open-minded people are in this group of people.
Wow, did you have anything else? Or
that? The decision on the group, I need to share with you one of your answers.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for that.
I was just described.
I'd be impressed to listen to all four questions, or discussion points, I should say.
Can I just collect the pieces of paper at the end? Because
Probably not going to be able to read it.
He interpreted as he went.
Perhaps I might need you to
retell. Lynn would like to have those bits of paper or whatever. How about this group? Thank you.
Well, we looked at number four, which is about that earthly gets earthly results and heavenly gets heavenly results. So we compared the earthly idea of like building a house on sandy ground, where we tend to have earthly thoughts that are limited to only our achievements. And we think that we are the center of the universe, so we, by doing that, we get results like failure, frustrations, conflict, and mistrust, which, of course, are not part of the kingdom. And when we have a heavenly thinking, which is everlasting, then we are building our house on solid ground, and that way we realize that we're made in God's image, and we value one another, not because of what we own or maybe how old we are or just but because of what we are as a church of God. We build one another and we identify people's strengths and maybe weaknesses and encourage them. We also bring hope that way, and also grace, and in that way we build up a family of unity.
Good, excellent. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. This group.
Okay, one of the questions we looked at was number two. In what way do we see honour being a part of our life together for the sake of the kingdom? And the point about it being vital to affirm each other was made, and there's a reference to Isaiah, how there was a lot of woes until was a revelation of who God was, and now it was woe is me. And instead of making comparisons with each other, we get God's point of view on how it is between him and us, and then not just the negative side of it, but who we are in him. And then we're probably in a better position to start looking at his agenda rather than good thoughts that we might have. So end up looking to God, and we're not really able to honour each other very well until we learn to honour God. So those things go hand in hand. And I think there's a reference somewhere to the fact, how can we love God who we can't see if we don't love our brothers? So it's not an either or, but it's things that go hand in hand. And the other thing was in honouring God, it's not just the term God, but it's actually the person of God and the person of the Holy Spirit, who is here with us now. So honouring the Holy Spirit in all these ways. is a big part of that process. That's where we got to on that.
Good, thank you. Next group.
I think the show is a difficult one, but anyway. So we believe that honour has always been part of the church, but we do need to be more aware of the promptings of the Holy Spirit to the needs and needs of the church and encouragement of others.
Good. That was a very brief response. Thank you. Good point.
We got quite a deep theological discussion, and my comments, I managed to get a few simple sentences down. We sort of morphed the 3 and 4 in together because they tended to work together. Why do we have an earthly government style and church and not a heavenly one? Things earthly government tend to be fairly heavily ruled, we thought. The Bible, by the way, says that we should rule thick with love. That's the way we should be ruling. We felt that formerly church style was more biblically based. It is our human condition, our own sinful condition, that we rule it our way. We tend to base on self and don't have patience. We work on evidence and we want tangible things. But we've got to remember that God can change things on earth, and there's a practical element with us human beings. We want to get out and do things. There's earthly influence. We are given more power from God than we believe. We were given a brain by God to help us in our rulings, and we must remember that the enemy likes to play games with our thinking.
Good insights there. Any more groups? Was that it? Look, thank you for your participation in this. I hope it was helpful just to take some time to talk together about, you know, concentrate our thinking a little. And Lynn's going to do the best to put some of that together as a document for us. Appreciate that very much. Also, the fact that this is recorded and at some stage will be able to listen to on the website. So so your voice is now recorded. I hope that's okay if it goes out over the ether somewhere. Just say yes on that. That'd be good. It's quite safe, I think. Ethel has chosen a song to conclude that it's one of my favourites. I think the theme of it is excellent because it's called Every Giant Will Fall. It's an MP4. And whatever stands in the road, whatever's in the road of our development as a people, it needs to come down. It really does. So whatever the giants are, they've got to go. So let's stand and sing this as a closing song again.
Overthrown, the love is unbattled. my benediction for us as we leave this place and go into the world this week is, go hard after King Jesus. Go hard.
Amen.